Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
2 after the hour, it's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Number, as always, if you want to hang, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Can also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on Twitter, at Zach Gelb. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. You understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. We'll do onsides, offsides in just a minute. Also, Brevin Knight is going to join us coming up in 35 minutes. The former NBA player now does a fantastic job for Grizzlies TV and also NBA TV. Getting back to this Brady Giselle photo, this one was actually very funny, this part of it. And yes, I have Brady fatigue in terms of where is he going next year? Is he going to the Los Angeles Chargers? Is it going to be the Tennessee Titans? Is it going to be the Chicago Bears? How about Dak Prescott going to New England and Brady goes to the Dallas Cowboys? You know, it just gets ridiculous. No one knows. Can we just admit that? No one knows. I don't even think Tom Brady knows yet. I don't think Bill Belichick even knows fully what he's going to do. And even if Brady and Belichick knew what they were going to do, why would they run to media members? These guys give nothing. Belichick has won, you know, huge regular season games. Not the postseason. Postseason, he gives a little bit more to the media. But we've seen him win huge regular season games, and it sounds like they lost. And he's so close to the vest. You think he's going to tell people what his plans are with Brady? To people that say, oh, yeah, Brady's definitely leaving. And do you think Brady is going to tell people whether he's leaving or staying? I don't think so. But this one photo today that Brady posted on Valentine's Day, which is an overrated holiday, with Giselle Bundchen, when Giselle Bundchen is pretty much biting his ear, someone, they made it pretty much into a meme and broke down the entire photo. So in this photo, it's them in their house. There's like wooden walls. There's a photo with like a blue sky and like a glare in it. It kind of makes it look like a yellow sun, but I don't think it's a sun in the painting. And this is where people are taking it to this level. And this is just people making fun of the whole chocolate cake thing. Oh, Brady, he's eating chocolate cake with his kids. That means he's retiring. Come on. How dumb can some people be? Or it's just people actually being smart to try to drive clicks to their website. So in this photo, it says, it points to the wooden walls, and it goes, these are the wooden walls in the background. Woody Johnson is co-owner of the Jets. It points to the dark blue of the TB12 hat that Brady's wearing, dark blue. The Cowboys wear dark blue. Then it points to this black and white shirt combo that he's wearing, Brady. The Raiders' home and away jerseys are black and white. Maybe Brady's going to Las Vegas Raiders. Then you have this painting that has like a blue and yellow mixture to it, and it says blue and white sky with a gold glare. Blue, white, and gold are the colors of the Chargers. So this one I actually did enjoy. I enjoyed this photo, but the rest of it, no one knows. When Brady makes his decision, someone like a Schefter or a Glazer is going to put that information out on a tweet, or Brady's probably going to do something on his own social media, and then we'll find out. And maybe the Patriots step in before, which I think Robert Kraft, with all the reports, are going to let him test free agency, and then they'll make a decision. But if Brady does not return to the Patriots, I'm sure the Krafts are going to send out a very classy statement. And I really do believe that Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft are going to do everything in their power to get Tom Brady back. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, maybe I'll be wrong. I do believe Tom Brady's going to be back in a Patriots uniform next year, either on a one-year deal or a two-year deal. I think Brady's going to try to play two more years in the National Football League. Okay, let's get to onsides, offsides. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Mikey, Mikey B, happy Valentine's Day. Mikey B is spending his Valentine's Day here with us inside of our studios while his wife Jessica is with Leon the Cat.
Yes, very romantic in here. Very good.
We have a candlelight dinner here going on. Essig was lighting the candles for us, bringing in the penne alla vodka, some bread and all that, and we're having a lot of fun on CBS Sports Radio. So you got five questions for me. They're burning hot questions. What are the questions? I'll give you my answers.
All right, let's do it. The first 10 games for Zion Williamson have been historic in New Orleans, while Ja Morant is putting on a show for the Memphis Grizzlies, who are currently the eighth seed in the Western Conference. Instead of the Rookie of the Year debate, let's add a little wrinkle to the convo. Onside or offside? Zion and Lonzo Ball will be a better long-term combo than Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson.
What are the chances in, I don't know, 6-7 years, let's say, that all four of these players are still on their current teams? Is Zion going to stay with the Pelicans? Is Lonzo Ball going to stay with the Pelicans? Will Ja Morant stay with the Memphis Grizzlies? Will Jaren Jackson stay with the Memphis Grizzlies? Possibly. But usually in these smaller markets or teams that don't have a rich basketball tradition, usually the players go elsewhere and they try to form these super teams. Maybe 6 years isn't fair because these guys are on their first or second year contracts minus Lonzo. And then you get that time and then you eventually, you know, after 4 years, I think it is, you go and you sign that extension with the current team and then eventually hit unrestricted free agency. But it's tough to kind of figure out what long term is what I'm getting at. And free agency always has to factor with that. So I'll just look at it. Let's assume these guys are going to play the entirety of their careers with the Pelicans and with the Grizzlies. The best player out of the group, I think, is Zion Williamson. That's what I think is the best player in the group. I think the best combination, though, is Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. If I had to rank these players, Zion 1, Morant 2, Jaren Jackson 3, and then Lonzo Ball 4. So will Zion Williamson and Lonzo Ball be a better long-term combo than Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson? I'll go off sides. And also, you never know what the injury concerns with Zion Williamson, too. I think that factors in. So, offsides.
Offside.
Numero dos.
Damian Lillard, a five-time All-Star, is in the midst
of his... What a stud, by the way.
Playing great. He's in the midst of his best season of his eight-year career. He's averaging a career-high 19.5 points per game to go along with a career-high 7.9 assists per game. He's shooting a
29.5 points per game.
What did I say?
I think you said 19.5.
Well, I'm sorry, Damian.
That's a big difference.
He's averaging 2.6 points per game. No, he's averaging just under
30. Hold on. Timeout. You used to work with someone that had a soundboard, Taz.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't have a soundboard.
We can get you one.
But when let's get one. When I worked with Taz, that one week when I filled in with him, he has that rewind button.
Yeah.
So, we just reround. Give me the question again.
All right. Damian Lillard, a five-time All-Star, is in the midst of his best season of his eight-year career. He's averaging a career-high 29.5 points per game to go along with a career-high 7.9 assists per game.
Ding.
He's also shooting a career-high 46% from the floor and about 39% from downtown.
From downtown, yes!
Onside or offsides, Damian Lillard is the best point guard in the National Basketball Association.
Ooh. This is tough. Steph's hurt, so can we throw Steph out of the convo because it's this year?
Your rules.
That means for me it's between Lillard or Westbrook. I'm going to go Damian Lillard as the best point guard. Because if you ask me, game on the line, do I trust Lillard or Westbrook more? I'm going to say Damian Lillard. So, on sides, right now, Damian Lillard is the best point guard in the NBA. All right, next question.
All right, the Los Angeles Lakers enter the All-Star break with the best record in the Western Conference at 41-12. During the offseason, L.A. tried to hire Ty Lue to be their next head coach, but contract talks fell apart. Enter Frank Vogel, who many nationally
questioned. Time out. Remember how much of a disaster that was?
Bad.
Remember how people were viewing the Los Angeles Lakers, and now look where they are.
Mm-hmm. Times have changed.
You may continue, sir.
Yeah, so Frank Vogel, as I said, many questioned if he could be the head coach of the Lakers. Here we are, though, 41-12. Onside or offside, the job Frank Vogel's done has been underappreciated by the media and the fans.
So here's how I always feel about coaches with LeBron James. And this may be fair, it may not be fair, but the way I feel is when LeBron James is on your team, LeBron James is the coach. It's just the way that I feel about it. Doesn't always mean every great player is the coach of the team. But in LeBron's career, and I know Spoelstra was fantastic, but LeBron is the coach. For me, when LeBron wins, he deserves all the credit. When LeBron loses, he deserves the criticism. Some rare exceptions, like at the end in Cleveland, they were going up against the Warriors. It was just too much. And they didn't have a great roster. They were able to win a championship, though. You look in Miami when they lost to the Mavericks. That was on LeBron when he had that one game where he had like 6 points or something in an NBA Finals game or whatever the number it is. So are we maybe overlooking Frank Vogel? Yes. But I'm not going to say we underappreciate him, because even though he's the coach, LeBron really runs the organization. Even an organization as powerful as the Lakers, LeBron runs that organization. So the job Frank Vogel's done has been underappreciated by the media and fans. Are we really supposed to look at it and say, wow, this is great coaching by Frank Vogel? Or is it more so LeBron wanted AD, LeBron got AD, and now this duo has been very good? The coach could get some credit, but people at the time, when we looked at Miami, they were saying, oh, Eric Spoelstra is a great coach in the moment. I said, let's see what he does without LeBron. And without LeBron, he proved he was a great coach. Frank Vogel's a good coach. I like what he did with Indiana. But right now, I don't think we're underappreciating Frank Vogel. I just think it's the way it is when you have LeBron James on your team. So I'm going to say offsides.
Offside.
Number four.
In 2015, Josh Norman signed a 5-year, $75 million contract with the Washington Redskins. Since signing that contract, his play on the field really hasn't matched the expectations that come with such a massive deal.
Very good guest, by the way, on the show when he joined us when Luke Kuechly retired.
Yes, he was excellent. Today we found out that he's being released, and it'll save the Redskins about $12.5 million in cap space. Onside or offsides, Josh Norman is a starter in the National Football League.
So a lot of times now, more corners become starters because of the way that teams play defenses in a happy passing league and a very heavy passing league. You put more corners on the field and maybe an extra guy starts that shouldn't be starting. Do I think Josh Norman, I'm going to kind of change this question, because when I look at starter, it's a guy that you expect to start 16 games. I don't expect Josh Norman to start 16 games this year. I think he could be effective in a reduced role. I still think he can help a team win, but in a reduced role. So Josh Norman is the starter in the National Football League for an entire 16 games? I don't think so. So offsides.
Offsides.
And finally, happy Valentine's Day again to everybody. Onside or offsides, chocolate is the best Valentine's gift for your significant other.
Chocolate is the best Valentine's Day gift for your significant other. What did you want? A diamond ring? What you want? Instead of just a dessert and chocolate, a very nice dinner? I'm going to say I'd rather want the diamond ring or dinner. Or maybe a brand new car. Who knows? Just a box of chocolate? Yeah, it's nice. It's fine. It's a good gift. I don't think you're getting kicked out of the house if you only give a box of chocolate. And sometimes life is like a box of chocolate and you never know what you're going to get. But I would kind of expect something a little bit more. See, how many years have you and your wife been married?
I think 8 or 9.
You think?
I think it's something around there. I'm just maybe 7. It's a lot.
Okay.
More than a couple years.
First year, you have to get something really nice. Year 4, year 5, box of chocolate. Okay. Like, box of chocolate, year 4 or 5 is pretty great. But you're asking me it's the best Valentine's Day gift for your significant other? Hey, honey, why don't we go to Puerto Rico for 8 days? Puerto Rico, 8 days, or a box of chocolate? What's your wife taking?
Yeah, she'll take Puerto Rico and then say, where did we get the money?
That's fair. Diamond ring, box of chocolate.
Diamond ring, again, how did you get the money?
But what's the better gift?
It's diamonds.
There you go.
They're forever.
You answered the question. Offsides.
Offside.
All right, 17 past the hour. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we got to talk more about Zion Williamson. It's All-Star Game weekend, and something's going to be missing. We'll talk about that when we return on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So the two most impressive rookies this year, Mikey B, if I were to ask you, and the NBA, who are the two most impressive rookies?
I would go with Zion Williamson and Ja Morant.
Winner, winner. Kind of stinks that we were robbed of this entire season of Zion Williamson. And we've only seen 10 games of him. Now, these 10 games are special. I'm not going back and saying the Pelicans handled this the wrong way because you need to protect your baby. That's what you got to do. You got to protect your Lamborghini, your Ferrari, and you don't want to put it on the road if it's not fully equipped to drive. And that's what happened with the injury with Zion Williamson with the meniscus problem going back to the summer. And even if he played a full season, we always know the NBA, in terms of rookies making the All-Star game, is so wacky. It really is. So maybe he would not have been an All-Star. I would like to think he would have been, but you never know. But it kind of stinks this weekend. Because one of the biggest stars in the sport right now is Zion Williamson. 10 games into his career, he's one of the biggest stars in the sport. What he's doing, like 31 points in 28 minutes, it's ridiculous. What he's been able to do night in and night out, 10 games into his career. But as a fan, if you're trying to get me to tune into this All-Star weekend, I need some more of Zion Williamson. And when I look at this All-Star weekend, does anyone care about this Rising Stars challenge that's going to tip off at 9 o'clock where it's Team USA versus the rest of the world? Mikey B, if you were not working here tonight, let's say it's a Friday night, what it currently is, are you staying in to watch the Rising Stars competition?
No, and my honest answer is I would probably watch it a little bit, and then once it got to the ridiculous level, I would change the channel, maybe pop on something else, and then, hey, I got bored of this, and pop it on, but there wouldn't be a locked-in 2 hours for me.
So even though Zion Williamson is playing in this, I'm not glued to the television over it.
No.
Because it's the Friday night. Now, if Zion Williamson was in the dunk contest on Saturday, are you watching?
Oh, yeah.
100%. It's without hesitation. The Friday night to me is always irrelevant. I've never cared about this Rising Star competition. When I get to the Saturday, though, I want to see big names in the dunk contest, and I enjoy the three-point shootout. And you know what? I even like that. What is it they call the skills competition
skills comp,
before?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you got Dinwiddie win.
2 years ago,
Spencer 2 years ago.
Won. That's right. Yeah, they've got guys that are centers in it, point guards. So it's
yeah,
not
no,
just,
it's fun.
It's every position.
So I've always been a sucker for that. But over the years, you know, the dunk contest, especially last year, it was bad. And now and then, every few years, you get a really good dunk contest. But if you give me Zion Williamson in a dunk contest, it'd be great. And
I don't think Zion Williamson will ever participate in a dunk contest. But if you're trying to get him, you have to do it in his first year or two in the league. And with the injuries coming off of, they're not going to go let him slam all over the court and jam all over the court coming off that leg injury. Because that would be the best thing for the NBA. But then if he got hurt, it would be the worst thing for the NBA in the slam dunk contest. Because someone of that magnitude, if he gets hurt, then no star would ever do the dunk contest again. I give Pat Connaughton doing the dunk contest this year. You have the kid from Miami as well. You have Dwight Howard making a return to the dunk contest. And then you have Gordon in the dunk contest too. It's Derrick Jones Jr., right, from Miami,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's in the dunk contest. So, you know, you say on Derrick Jones Jr., you think he's going to win this dunk contest.
Oh, I think he's going to crush it. I've seen some of these dunks on YouTube and in-game also. He is a freak athlete who can fly in the air. You know, I don't know. I'm sure he has something prepared that's going to be fun. I really believe he's going to be the guy that wins it.
Yeah, do we really need to roll Dwight Howard out there again? We see that with the Superman. Oh, Superman's in the building! Superman!
Well, I'm hoping maybe they somehow can incorporate Vince Carter.
That would be cool.
Thing. I think that would be cool
would
to get
excellent.
Him out there, 43 years old, on a trampoline. No, Vince can still dunk. I think that'd be fun to see.
Yeah, this dunk contest, I'll watch, because I really like the Saturday night events. But we said this a few weeks ago. Give me 1 year, John Morant, Zion Williamson, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and LeBron. Can we just do that, please? Adam Silver does everything for the NBA players. Let's the NBA players do whatever they want. Can once they return the favor and Zion in, Ja Morant in, Giannis in, and then LeBron in? That's all I ask. One time. One. LeBron won't do it. Giannis has already done it. Ja Morant maybe one day will get him. Zion will probably never have it happen. It just stinks. But I would love more Zion Williamson this weekend. And I'm not saying after 10 games you put him in the All-Star game, that would be crazy. But if he was playing in the All-Star game, I may actually watch the Sunday part of the All-Star game. That Saturday is my favorite night. The Sunday, I'm wishy-washy each year if I'm going to watch it or not. I would love to see Zion in it, though. It would bring more buzz to the weekend.
And it's got the new rules now for this game on Sunday with, like, the weird how it only matters in the fourth quarter. So who knows how it's going to go.
Yeah, they don't play defense. Matter. Whatever rules you put out there. It's a joke. It's just, please. I love Kevin Hart, but no Kevin Hart this year. A few years ago, the Kevin Hart introductions were unbearable. All right, half past the hour. It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We come back. Brevin Knight going to join us. To recap everything that happened in the NBA before the All-Star game.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Now back to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. NBA All-Star Weekend is here. And now joining us on the hotline, does a tremendous job covering the NBA for Grizzlies TV and also NBA TV. And he did play in the association from 1997 to 2009. And that's Brevin Knight here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Brevin, thanks for the time. And how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. So I understand it's Valentine's Day and you spent it with your wife earlier today at the movies. What movie did you see?
Yeah, we went and saw The Photograph. It was a really good movie that, of course, me being the non-movie guy I am, I went to sleep. that is our normal movie going agenda. I find the movie, I get popcorn and a slushie, I watch half the movie, and then I go to sleep.
Very romantic on Valentine's Day. Your wife was okay with you falling asleep in the movie?
That's why she chooses the movie. She just needs me to go with her, but she doesn't really care if I watch.
Well, you have a special woman there, because I know if I fell asleep in the movie theater, I would get a pocketbook to the face, I think.
After 19 years, soon to be 20, I think it is what it is at this point.
Brevin Knight here with us on the show, played in the NBA from 1997 to 2009. What has it been like to cover Ja Morant this year?
It's been fun. It's the first thing. And then it's also forced me to see the game a little bit differently, because now I am able to see a point guard with the vision and the foresight that I like to have when I play the game and see it in person, but see it with the flair. And so It's been enjoyable. It's been fun not just to see the highlight plays, but it's also fun to watch him continue to learn what it takes to be a leader on his basketball team. So I've enjoyed every night, and I am and blessed and have the privilege to be able to take him in every night.
And it's so cool when you have two young players on a team dominating like Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson are. I know for Jackson nationally, he's not getting the buzz, you know, compared to Morant, because Morant is right out of the league, you know, rookie, has been unbelievable for them. But give us a little perspective on Jaren Jackson, because, you know, he's been a big-time part of that team too.
Well, Jaren is probably one of your better young two-way players that you have in the game as a big, and his versatility is probably his biggest asset on the offensive end. He shoots the three as well as any big guy does in the league. He puts the ball on the floor and handles it like a guard out on the floor, and then he also has the ability to post up, so he can hurt you in multiple ways. And on the offensive ends, what he's come to be known for, what his reputation was built on, was blocking shots. And early on in his career, he just struggled with staying out of foul trouble while going to block shots. But since probably around December or so, his defense is really what has made us be a good basketball team from that point. And he's done a great job at defending the middle, doing a good job of when he switched pick and rolls, of keeping guards in front, and when he's contesting shots, staying out of foul trouble. So he's one of those young guys that plays the game the right way. He's the difference between he and Ja is that he's not a highlight waiting to happen all the time, but his game definitely dictates and has a huge imprint on our wins and losses.
Talking to Brevin Knight right now on CBS Sports Radio. Zion Williamson has played 10 games. He's been unbelievable. People are starting to make the Rookie of the Year case for him. I don't get how you could give it to Zion when Morant's been playing the entire season.
Yeah, I don't either. And the thing with Morant is he's been able to put up the numbers. He's been able to create the highlight plays. His team is winning. And I think at the end of the day, when you're able to get your team over the hump in terms of wins and losses, especially when they're not supposed to win, or this is supposed to be a growth year, then that continues to keep him in the front runner position for that Rookie of the Year. But it's expected that you want to create some type of running match there. And so the match between Zion, give him credit, he's come out and had big games for New Orleans and has created a lot of buzz around them. There's no deny what his talent is, but there's also no denying what Ja has been able to do individually, but also team-wise.
When Andre Iguodala got traded, and then he went to the Athletic and said, "I never stated that I didn't want to play with the Grizzlies," how did you react to that?
Well, it wasn't, to me, I always took it as what it was from the beginning. It was an agreement that they made before the season started, when the deal was made, that they would try to find a more playoff-ready, championship, more so ready team than what we were going to be putting together. And so that's, as long as at the beginning everybody knew what the situation was, then I was fine with it. If there was an opportunity for him to play with us, to come back to the team, then I think the door would have been open for him to come back. And if he wanted to be on the team and contribute and play, I think they would not have balked at that in any way, but it went the way it did. And you know, at this point, we wish him the best. And this team just continues to move forward.
With this team, with the Grizzlies, they've been a nice surprise story this year. We cover Ja Morant, we cover Jaren Jackson, and the fallout from the Andre Iguodala situation. How about the first-year head coach in Taylor Jenkins? Because it seems like no one's talking about him.
Well, we talk about him a lot because he is, with the way that the organization has put together the roster and then bringing him on and his staff, that is the beginnings of why this team is in the position that they're in. He's come in and done a great job of tempering how much he gives to the guys. He never wanted to overload them or stress them. And the style of play is conducive to what today's players are. So he's done a good job of being a communicator. And I think we always say, as NBA coaches, 80% of it is communication, 20% is X and O's. And the X and O's, they've continued to make the adjustments necessary to get guys in positions to play. But he has been able to get across the message of playing together, playing hard every night. And it's a family atmosphere that they play under. So it's been fun to watch him be able to have his message and his playing style come across to the guys, and they take it in.
When we look around the rest of the league as we're talking to Brevin Knight, I think the best story in the NBA right now has been what Nick Nurse and the Toronto Raptors are doing. They win the championship last year. We all know they lose Kawhi. And to be where they are at the All-Star break, it's just unreal to see what they're doing right now.
It is unreal, and it's just a credit to their player development. I think where Pascal Siakam has come from in his game, and they always, I think for them, they felt comfortable with his trajectory that when they did lose Kawhi, that they still felt as though they had a competitive basketball team. I think Kyle Lowry now has had a chance to go back to his old self, to be aggressive offensively, to score physically. He looks like he's in a good place, and so you combine those guys with the rest of the pieces that they're able to put around, and it's just it's a deep basketball team. It's a club that's been together for a long time now, and so the ability to have the players to go out and compete on a nightly basis, but also to have the understanding of where each other will be, what it takes to win basketball games. They've been through that fire together, so to see them win, I think they won 15 in a row. I mean, that's just a credit to how important they take every game. It's not, there is no game off, and that's just the championship mentality that they have.
To get to the finals, if you had to make a pick right now out of the East, do you go the Bucks or the field?
I would go with the Bucks. I just think that, number one, Giannis is that good. But I really believe that Chris Middleton, when asked to do more, can give you more on a consistent basis. I think you see that he's able to put up those all-star numbers. And I just think they have the versatility. They can play big if they need to. They can size down and play small if they have to. They can put you into a predicament where you have to try to match them if you're going to go small. They have shooters on the perimeter. So, and everybody talks about their depth. They don't have the big-name guys, but you don't have that big-name people to win. They have enough of a team atmosphere and a team mentality, and then they have enough talent within that they can go out and beat teams in a seven-game series.
We were throwing around this topic as we're talking to Brevin Knight. Does a great job. Grizzlies TV and NBA TV, of course, played in the NBA from 97 to 2009. We were chatting earlier in the show about who the best point guard is in the NBA. Who do you go with right now, Brevin?
Oh, man. There are so many guys that attack the position in different ways. And, I throw our guy out against anybody. And at the end of the day, I've been a Chris Paul fan forever. And until he stops playing, that's when I'll stop being a fan. It's just, I believe that he combines the best of what you can get out of a pro, which is a guy that understands how to get the most out of people, still stays on top of his body and his own individual game, and there's results in what he does. He changes your culture in some way. And Oklahoma City came in with, they just figured, oh, this is a team that they're throwing together. He might not beat it, he will. And then they come out and they're solidly in the playoffs in the West. So I see it differently. So for me, Chris Paul to me still is what I say is what point guard should be.
If you had to pick between Lillard or Westbrook, who do you go with?
Oh man, I would. It may say go with Lillard just because he gives you he can give you that game winning shot from anywhere on the floor, and I think he just has that spirit about him to be able to make those shots. No knock on Westbrook. He's what he's been able to do with turning down the notion of having to be a 3-point shooter like everyone else, but playing his game, he looks like the old Westbrook. But I would take Lillard's shot-making ability late in games, I think, just puts him just a notch above for me.
Staying in the Western Conference, as Brevin Knight is with us on the Zach Gelb Show. We know it's the race with the Lakers and the Clippers. You have the groin injury now with Paul George. Is health just going to be the determining factor of this one? Because I look at the Clippers, I think they have more depth defensively, but it's also tough to bet against LeBron and Anthony Davis. This could be a fun one between those two teams.
Well, it'll be fun. The problem for the Clippers is they've had injuries all year, and they're doing their maintenance situation to get ready for the end of the year. But if you have no type of cohesion of guys playing together long enough to understand where one another is on the floor, then I'm always going to give the team that has had the most time together when you have the same amount of talent. And so when you put those two teams together, the big difference becomes there's one team that has played – we'll have played an entire season together to get to know one another. And then there's another team in the Clippers that have had to piecemeal and play here and there and not really have their main guys on the floor. So for me, unless the fear for the Clippers is they'll have guys that can do it, but will they know how to do it together, especially in crunch time and winning time?
Last one for you, Brevin. The Basketball Hall of Fame 2020 finalists have been announced. The list is Kim Mulkey, Barbara Stevens, Rudy Tomjanovich, Eddie Sutton, Tamika Catchings, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and then the late, great Kobe Bryant. We're still in mourning and reacting to the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and then also the seven other people that did pass away in the tragic helicopter accident. Can you give us a story of two on Kobe and what he did mean to you?
Well, I think he meant to me like he meant to all of us that had the opportunity to play against him, especially for the duration of a career, which was he was the ultimate competitor. And so you always, when it was your opportunity to be on the floor with him, you wanted to show that you were as much of a competitor as he was. And I kind of just tell the story that it was a couple years into my career and we were about to play them, and he pulls me to the side and he says, "I've been watching you play, and I appreciate the effort and how hard you play the game. You'll have a good career." And so for me to hear that from somebody that I, at that point, looked up to as being the best of our generation and the best in the game to play it inspired me to keep going that way. So I think he was an inspiration in different ways for different people, but at the end of the day, I think everybody just took away his the heart that he played with, and whatever he put his mind to, he was going to do it to 100%. And so I think that's what I leave with from him, is that whatever I put my mind to, if I'm going to do it, then do it to the fullest. Don't second guess it. Don't cut it short in any way, and don't cheat the game in any way. And so that hopefully his family and then the families of the others that deceased in that crash all find some level of peace within themselves.
Brevin Knight, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me.
Appreciate Brevin Knight joining us right there on CBS Sports Radio. Really good stuff at the end of that conversation, all throughout the conversation, but especially at the end of the conversation when reflecting on the life of Kobe Bryant. And everyone has their own anecdote and their own story to go along with Kobe Bryant as well. As you know, this is going to be a weekend, clearly, where all NBA people are together, and it's going to be such a big talking point. And also in the game, where you're going to have the 24 and the two jerseys being put on the court too. So, it's going to be an interesting weekend. I know the All-Star game for me doesn't generate a lot of buzz, but I'm sure the Kobe aspect of it is going to be a big time talking point as well. And this, you know, the finalists for the Hall of Fame class this year. And sometimes I get down on the Hall of Fame in basketball, because sometimes they put people in and you're like, does that person really belong? But some of the potential star power that you could get in this upcoming Hall of Fame class is going to be, very big. But it's so unfortunate that, and obviously when you look at the entire meaning of in the whole situation, like, it pales in comparison, but it's just so unfortunate that Kobe isn't going to be there, obviously, for his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And, you know, you're going to have a class that, if Kobe, you know, were alive, you would have Kobe giving a speech, Tim Duncan most likely giving a speech, and Kevin Garnett too, because all three of them are going to get in on the first try at it. So that's going to be emotional. It's going to be very, very emotional. Obviously, there's, you know, when you look at that, you think more so of the family and, children that lost their dad and also lost another sibling too. It's just the whole thing's it's still, I know we talked about this a lot, it still doesn't feel real. It really doesn't. You know, when you have to refer to Kobe Bryant as the late, great Kobe Bryant, it's something that we've just been robbed of. It really has been. We've been robbed of that in a big time way. Did I get to the read? Sorry, I'm all thrown out of place here when talking about Kobe. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, sorry about that, is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. With the owner rank, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com
easy. When we come back, we got to get back into baseball and potentially some retaliation for the Astros scandal. I will tell you on the other side why I don't necessarily agree with that. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.